that showed up late, the 6th through 8th grade girls, Brother Ken's teaching tonight. He's going to be a special treat, I'm sure. If y'all will, turn in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. This is actually one of my favorite illustrations we're going to talk through tonight. And we're going to talk about the talents, the story of the talents, parable of the talents. So I want to focus on that a little bit tonight and just kind of stir our minds, our hearts maybe a little bit. And it's been kind of a unique day for me. I had an opportunity this afternoon to talk to, about 40 young people, I guess, young in the workforce at least, and they're part of a leadership development program. So they were at three different sites, Texas, California, and there here in Georgia, and got to share with them some thoughts. And I don't know what they expected, but I brought my notes with me. I'll tell you what they got. You guys, I think you'll like this. Okay. All right, so you're not as smart as you think you are. That was about 10 minutes. Everyone matters, and know who you are. And there's a couple other points in there, but we talked about humility and making other people look good and not stealing all the light, and making sure that you understand that there's not a pie that everybody has to go scramble and get their piece of. There's this limitless supply out there of benefit for everybody. And, just go get yours and leave everybody else's alone. So that was fun. And it kind of tapers into our lesson a little bit tonight. So in Matthew 25, verse 14, the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. So this man is kind of a contrast between those who make use of God's gifts and those who do not. This story is, and this man had his goods, and it says that he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So he had put his trust in these servants with his goods. God has put his trust in us for some things. You know, some of those things are down, some of those things we're trusted with are down in the classroom right now getting taught, right? Our children are something God's entrusted us with. God's entrusted us with a certain financial flow that he would have us honor, right? God has entrusted us with certain gifts that he would have us honor and not waste, and not waste on the world, but to use for his glory. You know, and these things belong to God, and it's up to God how he handles those gifts. I've been looking at a verse this week and kind of meditating on a verse over in Acts. Let me see if I can find it real quick. You guys don't have to turn. I'll read it to you unless you want to. So Acts 1, verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You know, God kind of decides some things that we don't necessarily get a vote on. And it's not for us to decide or to judge how God does his business, because his ways are not our ways. We can trust that his ways are always the right ways, can't we? So in verse 15, back in Matthew 25, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he handed off these things. He handed off to one servant, he handed off a large amount, 5. To the next servant, he handed off, a medium amount, 2. And to the third servant, he handed off 1. every man according to his ability. And that was God's judgment of that ability, right? And God's judgment of whether they could be trusted with those things. And I would say that all of us, to some extent, fit, you know, into one of these three categories. And some people's five is someone else's two, I'd say, you know. But definitely God has entrusted us with something that He would like to see us take care of. Whether it's five, one, or two, you're not responsible for whether the number is five, one, or two. You're not responsible for whether God put a big thing or a small thing or a medium thing under your care. What we're responsible for is what we do with the thing that we were given and how we honor the thing that we were given. Can everybody see that? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So in verse 16, then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them another five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. So who do you think honored? Who do you think honored the most what they were given? Five, two, or one? I would argue that five and two honored equally, because they did what they could do according to their ability. But one, Mr. One over here, he went and digged and hid it in the earth. So he took the thing that God had provided and stored it away, that talent, so that no one could benefit from it. So that the Lord of the house couldn't benefit from it when he came back as well. So in verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him, with them. And I'll tell you, for sure, there's always a reckoning. It always plays out. One of the things I told those young people today is, if you will always be caught doing the right thing, if you'll just always, no matter what situation you're in, no matter who's looking and who you're with, be caught doing the right thing, you can't lose. I mean, in every situation, whether you're dealing with a secretary or a vice president, and everybody matters, by the way, just be found doing the right thing. And that's something that will cause you to prosper, because that's something that can be blessed. I had to stop a little short of saying that, but you know, there's always hidden messages in what I'm saying there. So there's always a reckoning, and we reap what we sow. If we want to reap a bad seed, we're going to grow a bad fruit, and it may take a long time for it to grow to that harvest, and it may take a short time. But you better believe reaping lies and deceit and cheating is going to get us eventually. So I want to, you guys okay if I brag on my wife for just a second? You okay with that? Okay, good, okay. She might be okay. I hope she's okay with it too. I'm not sure. Okay, so this last week I had an off day, and I took the dogs to the vet. Okay. We have a great vet in Bowden. He's a good friend of mine. I respect him a whole lot. And the dogs needed some work done, whatever that means. Because when I was a kid, Brother Ken, the way you got a dog was you found out who had a litter that was giving dogs away. And it was whatever mixture, you know, was there. And you raised it. And they didn't see doctors. They didn't get shots. And it's amazing to me that they always live to this ripe old age and they finally kill over and die without any medical care. But now, for some reason, animals require a lot of medical care. So one of our animals needed a little surgery, which I recommend, by the way. So he was going in for this normal surgery that needed to happen, all right? And I couldn't do that on my own. But I took him in, and when we got... when we got to the vet, put him in the pen, and I get back home, and we get a phone call, and the vet says, "You're not going to believe this. Your dog, full-blooded, black lab, beautiful, you know, paid a dollar or two for, dog, has a stick lodged between its upper teeth. And this stick has been there for so long that it is rotten. And its gums have rotted away. So not only did it need the surgery that we took him for, he needed a second surgery and a third surgery. Two teeth needed to be pulled. So, you know, I told Jennifer on the way, I said, you know, I love these dogs. I'm just going to tell you, I love them, but I'm not in love with them. So if this goes the wrong way, it might get ugly around the house." And she said, "Well, I am in love with them, and we're going to take care of them." So this surgery that needed to happen. And oh, by the way, this dog, I don't know how long that stick had been there. He never whimpered. He ate just fine. He ran around. I don't know if he's tough or dumb, but regardless, that was the situation. So, and the second dog, because the first dog was going, she needed her shots, these all-important shots. So here I am with two dogs at the vet, and it's time to pay. And I know it's all worth it, okay? So y'all don't, and I know everybody earns the money that they work for, and I'm not saying anything bad about that industry or anybody in town. But I do want to share a number with you. $750. Yeah. Okay. And now I'm building up to something here. So I called Jennifer on the way home, and I say, "So we're in love with these dogs, right?" And I gave her the number, and she goes, "What?" It was one of those. So we get home, and it's an itemized bill, and, you know, I'm given, they came with medicines. They had, you know, their own little bottles, has their name on it, and, you know, it's just like at the pharmacy. And I'm figuring out their medicines, and a little bit later, Jennifer says, she was going through the bill, and she says, they forgot to charge us for a medicine. We owe them $50 more. I said, "Really?" Okay, now we're talking about doing the right thing all the time. So what we're talking about here, what are you going to do? I'm not asking you what we did. I'm asking you honestly in the mirror, what are you going to do? So, Jennifer got on the phone. She said, okay, first it went like this. I'm like, $50 more? I think we've done our part. And she goes, "Nope, it's not right." And she's already on the phone. She calls him up and says, we just paid you $750 and we owe you $50 more. And we'll be by Monday to pay you. I don't know. I just got to believe, though, that God can bless that. Yeah. And I'm glad I got a wife that acts that way. You know, and I didn't. And eventually I probably, you know, I'm just glad I didn't have to fight with her to do the right thing. Because I know that I would have done the right thing without her influence. And I'm just glad that I didn't have to deal with all that trouble. And she finally came around. What would you have done? Do you know? So I don't know if I should tell that. I'll tell it. Okay. I have a buddy at work that hit his window in his new house with a rock, cutting grass. And he convinced the builder to fix it, because the house had settled and cracked the window. I said, "What did you do?" He said, yeah, he bought it. I don't, you know, whatever. It's just, and I'm not judging anybody because I'm sure I've done worse. But it's just, how are we going to conduct ourselves? How are we going to conduct ourselves when nobody's looking, when nobody cares, and when nobody's going to know? You know, God knows these things, and there's a reckoning. There's a reckoning someday on what we sow. In verse 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. So I will say God was pleased with this servant. This Lord was pleased with this servant. You know, and we look at, I'll say that we sometimes look at people and say, well, that person's got it all. And we may believe that it came easy by them. But sometimes people that have a lot did a lot. And they put in a lot of work. And it's not for us to judge. We don't know. We just don't know. Sometimes, okay, whatever. People have a fortunate path in life. And it's even fortunate if you work very hard and you get a lot. Because guess what? A lot of people work very hard and don't get that blessing, right? For whatever reason. But I also say that you can't go wrong working hard and being diligent, because God can honor that. And whether it's with buckets of money or truckloads of money, or it's just with a pride and a happy life that you can be proud of, then it's still a blessing. And God decides that, right? So in verse 21, he said, Lord, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So I think it's important for us to capture this point here as well, that we need to demonstrate that we can be faithful over a few things to show that we can be trusted with greater things. And I think God uses that illustration for us to kind of connect with the fact that not every job that we're given for the Lord is going to be one that gives instant glory. Not every job that we take on is going to put the spotlight on us. But sometimes God is trying to see and trying to show us that we can be trusted with the little things, so that he can put us in a position to take care of the bigger things. You know, there are pastors out there that are led to and lead churches of 25 and 50 people for their entire career as a pastor. And if that's exactly where God wanted them or wants them, then they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And that may or may not ultimately turn into a much larger church or a much larger congregation. But sometimes God will trust us with a little thing, what we see as little, and out of that 25 people may grow an individual that God will trust with, you know, a 10,000 member church. God has a way of working things that we can't always see. But the credit goes to the one that is faithful with the thing that they were handed. Just like the servant with 5 talents. And in verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If you will, if you can see it in your Bible, compare verse 21 with verse 23. Is there any difference? In my Bible, they're the exact same words. It's the exact same response from the Lord to the one that had 5 and the one that had 2. Quantities don't matter when it comes to faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. He's got the quantity under control. How are you going to impress God with turning 5 into 10 when he's got endless supply? You can't impress God with that. God's interested in our hearts, in our intents. God's interested in our alignment with Him. God would have us honor Him first, and He would have us honor our neighbor. And we overcomplicate this thing way beyond where it has to be. If you want a place to put your energy and a place to focus, just do those 2 things. And if you can master that in a lifetime, you've done a pretty good deal. Honor God first and honor your neighbor. That's a pretty good feat for us human beings. So, in verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. Okay. A few things going on here. First of all, he opens his mouth with nothing but excuses. Excuses. I knew you were a hard man. I was worried about what you had trusted me with because I knew that you would be angry if I messed it up. Excuses will cause us to live a pretty empty life. We can excuse our way out of everything. We can excuse our way off the treadmill. We can excuse our way off of eating healthy. We can excuse our way of not getting the education that we need to, that we know that we want to get or that God wants us to get. We can excuse our way out of reading our Bible. We can excuse our way out of praying. We can excuse our way out of just about anything, especially if we focus on others and we focus on why others are stopping me from doing the things that I need to do. So his excuse was, I was afraid. Okay. Well, if the Lord gave you something, if the Lord gave you a talent, in this case it was a money piece, but if the Lord gives you a talent, why are you afraid to use it? What are you afraid of? What the Lord entrusts us with, He gives us the ability to execute around that. The Lord will honor what He gave us. He's just asking us to step up and be faithful with that thing. It'd be quite a shame for us to have a servant's heart and a gift of service and be afraid to go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, can I help you? I know you've been sick, or I know that you need something. It'd be a shame for us to be afraid to step out and do the things that we know the Lord is drawing us toward, and the Lord has blessed us with the ability to do. And not everybody can do what everybody can do. If you've got the talent of service, or you don't have the talent of service and you're trying to go do that, then you're going to come across wrong because God didn't give you that gift. So we need to figure out what our gifts are and go execute around those gifts. So verse 26, his Lord answered him and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So what he said is, okay, good grief, if you're so scared, or you're so you lack that much confidence, or you're wanting to be lazy, you went and dug a hole and put it in the ground. At least give it to the bank so I can make interest. At least show me that respect that you're even thinking or honoring, you know, what I've given you. You didn't even do the minimum. Take therefore the talent from him, and this is where we get twisted up in America, okay? Take therefore the talent from him and give unto him that hath 10 talents. I've heard all my life, the rich get richer. The haves keep growing, and the have-nots, you know, keep shrinking, sort of thing. Well, I don't know, but some of that's illustrated right here. Because God said, I've given you the same oxygen to breathe. I've given you the same daylight. I've given you the same body in most cases. I've given you the same opportunity to go out with the intellect and the abilities that you have to go engage in this world and go make something based on the talents you've been given. And if you're not willing to step up, how can God honor that? And so many of us, and I don't want to get political, but we have a very entitled nation right now where we have entire, feels like generations out there that feel like if they can get in a position to leech off of that that stream that everyone else is creating, then that's a win. To work and to not work and get taken care of is not a win. That is not a win. Now, if there's a medical issue, an ability issue, you know, if there's a need, then that we ought to take care of each other that way. That is absolutely our duty and our honor to do that for people that need it. But if we've got all the wherewithal and all the ability, and it's just a matter of stepping up, then we ought to step up or be judged. Or be judged in the fact that we were slothful with the talents that we were given. So another verse in Luke 12:48. You guys don't have to turn, but it says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Let me read it again. He that knew not and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask more. So God says if we are not knowingly or based on not having the ability, not putting ourselves in this situation, are we doing wrong not knowing or out of ignorance, then the reaping around that is you're worthy of a few stripes. But God help those of us who know, those of us who sit in a church on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning and on Sunday night, and we have people around us that tell us, and we have a preacher that tells us the right way to live and what God expects from us. God help us if we know what to do and we go out and do different. God help us if that voice isn't there or we don't listen to that voice when we've underpaid by $50. Because $50 is not much. I mean, you can barely get a tank of gas in a good sized truck for that. So, but if we're willing to trade our integrity over that, knowing that it's the right thing to do, especially if the Holy Ghost is saying it's the right thing to do, that little thing can become a really big thing for us, and probably cause us to be worthy of some pretty rough stripes. I'm just talking about the reckoning. Okay, I'm talking about the reckoning. I mean, we reaping what we sow. Those of us in this room have a great responsibility to react to the things that we know. Yes. We're well equipped with information. We're well equipped with God's Word. And it's a little bit scary to know the standard that I can imagine God would hold us to. And, you know, we just have to be found doing the right things. So, verse 29, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God definitely has an expectation for us in our lives. You know, in our church, in our home, in our work. I believe God has put us here for a reason. I don't believe it's a mistake that if you found your way to liberty. Let's see what kind. Okay. So when I found my way to liberty, there was a very, and I don't know what your experience was, but my path to getting here, I came out of a pretty tough spot, and I wasn't very proud of myself at that time in my life. And there was an overwhelming draw for me into this place and into this ministry. It's not something I can really describe, and I don't really feel like I had an option to say no. I don't know what no would have looked like. because it was so clear to me that this is where I needed to be at that time. So having been so clear, had I said no, I can imagine the reckoning would have been pretty rough. But God had wanted me here for a reason. And I think He wanted you here for a reason. And I think He was creating a family of us to do something. To do something for Him. And to do something that's bigger than the storefront, bigger than the basement, and bigger than this. Because the ministry is reaching out all across the world right now. And it takes all of us honoring that thing that God has put in us, whatever that is, to create that thing that God wants to reach out into the world. And God can bless. God can take this gift right here, these five talents, and He can make them 10. And then He can make them 20. And then He can make them 40, 80, 160, to an infinite number. But in order for that doubling and that prosperity to happen for this ministry, all He's asking for us is to be a good and faithful servant with the things He's given us. He's just asking us for diligence around the things that the light that we've been given and the things that He's put in front of us. No more and certainly no less. So I think God is honored. I think God has honored this ministry because of the faithfulness that has occurred here, and quite frankly, the leadership that we've been under and the faithfulness of that leadership. Because I won't talk too much about this, but every culture, period, is driven by its leadership, flat out. It is created by its leadership. So the leadership that we've enjoyed here and the faithfulness in the alignment to God and His purpose has caused this thing to be what it is. And it can continue, or it can stop. And it can go from something very big. And I didn't see God say, cut the talent in half and let Him keep half of it. Okay, quarter it and let Him keep a quarter and we'll take three quarters. Melt that thing down and give me, you keep 5 ounces and we'll give away an ounce. What He said is, take the whole thing. Take the whole thing and give it to somebody that'll do something with it. Can't let it happen, right? We can't let that happen to what's been built here. And all that's required is that we stay aligned with the Lord and with His purpose, and we honor what's been trusted to us. And that's not just with the ministry. That's with our homes. That's with our marriages. It's with our children. It's with everything in our lives. So what we do and how we react to situations, we shouldn't take it too flippantly, right? And it's a big deal. And all the time we're coming across things and opportunities to not be faithful. But God has definitely given us the ability to be faithful. And I've trusted Him to help me, and I haven't always been on the right side of that. And I've suffered some reckoning, through my life. And I've suffered some reckoning after I knew better. And I would say that most of us probably have. But boy, we sure do want to minimize that, don't we? And we want to try to benefit from everything that God has for us. And not just for our own sake. We do care about ourselves, I know. But for our family's sake, and for the generations that follow our families, and for the ministry's sake, and the generation that's going to follow us in this ministry. There's just no telling. There is no telling what 100 years of this could do for the world. We won't be here to see it 100 years from now, but it can still be alive. If we treat it right and we nurture it right and we teach the generations that follow. All right. Thank you for your attention.